We're finishing up something that we started last week, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, and I'll go ahead and read it. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me." Okay, the gospel of Christ. Amen. And so this is a continuation of what we studied last week. And there are just some really neat things that I wanted to bring out in this, because I've studied the Bible. I have got 2 advanced degrees in the Bible. And I have missed this every time. I kind of look at it and say, "Oh, yeah, that's neat." But it just seems like this time the Holy Spirit reached out of the pages of the Bible, grabbed me by the throat and said, "Look at this, will you please?" And so I did. And so I want to share that with you. Okay, what we're finding out, as we did last week, is that the proof of your relationship with Jesus is that you keep his word. You keep his word. That is a Greek word that means to guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon, to fulfill a command, hold fast, observe, preserve, and reserve. Okay, that's what it means to keep. And it's just not a casual relationship. It is a full body embrace of the truth. Okay, and so Jesus said, "If you'll love me, you will keep my commands." Amen? All right, and that's important, because who you obey is who you serve, is who you trust. And if you obey mankind, if you obey the world program, you put your trust in Social Security or whatever else it is that the world has to offer, that becomes your God. That becomes your worry. That becomes your point of extreme interest. Don't mess with my Social Security. Alright? Don't mess with the Medicare, like they do every year. All right. And so, Jesus is saying, where's your focus? If you say that you love me, you're going to be keeping my word. Now, in our 55 years of marriage together, Terry and I have worked with a lot of people around the world. And Terry is a great student. She's a forever student. And she loves to learn. But some great teacher can get up and say something, and Terry is going to, take that in. Then she'll come to me and we'll discuss it. Why? Because that guy up there is not married to her. He's not her authority. And by the way, when we talk about authority, it goes 2 ways. People leave that part out. when Paul is teaching about the man and wife, husband and wife relationship. You're both submitted one to another. Okay. Seems that there's a certain part of our culture that likes to leave that part out. Hey, my wife, you do what I tell you to do. Okay, so anyhow. So the mark of where your trust is whose commands are you keeping? What is your life based upon? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Then he goes on and he says something very important because we're in the time of Pentecost. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, and he will be with you forever. Okay, advocate. The word in the Greek is paraclete. Para, like we have like a paralegal. What is a paralegal? A helper to the attorney. Somebody who walks alongside of the attorney and helps that attorney out, whatever that attorney needs, that's what that paralegal is there for. The Holy Spirit is called the paraclete, one who is called to walk beside us. All right, so now we have a Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He's called in the Greek, the paraclete. Some Bibles translate it advocate. Some other Bibles call it a comforter. When we had a church over on Mason Road, we called it Mason Road Assembly of God, the Church of the Comforter. And I can't tell you how much grief I got from all the rednecks in the congregation about the Church of the Quilt. And that's okay. All right. I just said, that's okay, Holy Spirit. I know what you're talking about. Anyhow, so I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another person. Well, why was it that Jesus was so special to these guys? He had walked for 3.5 years. If they're out camping in the desert, he's out there with them. If they're out there working, so he's out there. Wherever they are, he is. He has spent 3.5 years of his life, and they've invested 3.5 years of their life walking along beside Jesus. You think they got to know him kind of good? Amen. Find out what he likes, what his dislikes are. Had a rough time learning about faith. Boy, poor old Jesus pulling his hair out trying to teach these boys faith. But everything else, they seem to really click to. All right. He walked beside him. Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going to go to my Father. But if I go to my Father, he's going to send a paraclete. He's going to send you a comforter. He's going to send you an advocate. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. All right? And that, see, Jesus could only be in one place at a time, couldn't he? All right? In his flesh, he was here. He was bound by space. But the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He can be everywhere. And so now we have the most envious position of any created being, in that we have direct fellowship, side by side, walking down the street, hand in hand fellowship with the third person of the Trinity. Amen? That is awesome. And, but look at this. And, I'll send you another advocate. He will be with you forever. Jesus said, I was only with you for 3.5 years. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. And of course, all you have to do, if you want to get people making fun of your religion, is just start talking about the Holy Spirit. And they'll talk about the holy rollers and the snake dancers and all these apparitions that are out there that, you know, it's just silliness to the world. That's fine. The world can't know him. They're not of his. Amen? Don't be upset when people don't love Jesus. Jesus is a stumbling stone. He is, I forgot the Greek word, it's really a neat word too. Anyhow, he's the stumbling stone. You will either come upon Jesus and fall to your knees and accept him, or you'll come upon Jesus and you will fall and be crushed. Those are the only two options when you meet Jesus. You will fall and submit yourself to his authority, or you will fall and be crushed. But it's important. He said, I will never leave you orphan. I am coming to you. How many here are orphans? Your daddies and your mamas are gone to glory. Everybody here, just about? Okay. How does it feel being an orphan? Nasty, isn't it? When my father died and I said, I'm an orphan. This stinks. All right? But Jesus said, I'll never leave you orphan. Your mama and daddy, they didn't have any choice in the matter. Their time was over, and now we're a room full of orphans. Except that we have Jesus. And he said, I'll never leave you. We always have him. Amen? But in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, and that day is Pentecost, 50 days after Passover is the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. All right? On that day, you will know that I'm in my Father, and that you in me, and I in you. And so when the Holy Spirit came, we now realize that, yes, Jesus has reunited with the Father in heaven. Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, because now the Father has sent the Holy Spirit as Jesus said he would. Okay, so all of this is a fulfillment of prophecy. We can trust that Jesus is in that relationship with the Father that he said he would be in because he sent the Spirit of God. Which he said that would be the proof that I did that. Okay, then it's really funny because Judas says, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Because in the Old Testament Messiah, the Old Testament Messiah was seen by the whole world. And they didn't realize that there are two stages to Jesus' Messiahship. His first stage is he reveals himself to those who will follow him. And then after, the great battle and all that good stuff in the tribulation, then they will all see him whom they have pierced. All right? And so poor old Judas here, not Judas Iscariot, there's another Judas, the rabbis have taught us that, you know, you're the Messiah, and so everybody will see you. Jesus says, nah, not quite. Okay, so Jesus answered, those who love me will keep my word. Okay, do we love Jesus? Okay, so if we do, we're going to keep his word, right? And like this, I love this, and my Father will love them. It's not just Jesus. My Father's going to, because you keep my word, the Father loves you. So cool. And we, who's we? The Father and Jesus. The Paraclete has already been sent up in verse 17. Okay, Jesus has already sent the Holy Spirit. So now look what it says here. I love it. He says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When? Oh, when we all get to heaven. No. On the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit is sent, then he says, also I and the Father will come. And folks, hey, I'm a Spirit-filled believer, but I am led by the Trinity of God. Because each one of us have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in, according to what we're reading right here. And this is no taking words out of context. I'm just telling you what John the Beloved wrote down. Jesus said, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that they hear, that you hear, is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. So Jesus is saying, if you don't hear my word, I really don't care, because it's not my responsibility. Because all I do is just say what the Father tells me to say. So if you reject my word, you reject the Father. Okay? And that's some bodacious kind of an attitude right there. Right there. That we're going to not only, I don't believe in Jesus. You believe in God? Oh, yeah, we believe in God. No, you don't. Okay? Because if you don't believe the words of Jesus, then you are rejecting God who gave Jesus those words. Amen? And but listen, just think of what he has said, though. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Does that say, and in the Greek, this is not perfect or future tense. This is past perfect. It's happening. It's happened. It's happening right now. It's not something that, you know, God is only going to do sometime in the future. This is what he's doing right now. You believe his word. You keep his word. You build your life on the guidance of God's word. Then praise God. I mean, we church has known about Pentecost for 2,000 years. We got the third person of the Trinity walking right there. But that's not all. We have the same Father that Jesus said, don't look at me. I only do what my Father tells me to do. That's it. Jesus wasn't doing these things because he was God, because what did we learn in Philippians? Jesus gave up the independent use of his godly attributes. He had to, otherwise he wouldn't have been tempted. How can you tempt God? He wasn't tempted like we were. Alright? No. He gave up those independent. He never stopped being God. But as God, he was able to say, I walk away from that. I'm not going to use that godly attribute or whatever. I'm simply going to depend on my Father and the Holy Spirit. Because remember, on the day of Jesus' baptism, before he went out into the wilderness, you had something interesting happen, didn't you? You had the heavens open, and a spirit descended like a dove, and the word of God. This is my Son. Listen to him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, anyhow, folks, we have more going for us. My prayer life has been, God, I hope I can get your attention way down here so that you can see what's going on in my life. Aren't you aware of what I'm going through right now? God, can I get your attention? And he said, you realize that that would do to your prayer life if we really ever embrace that? And we're walking around with the fullness of the Godhead in us on one condition: we're keeping his word. We're keeping, that's the only condition that's in here for us to have this blessing. You keep his word, and we get to walk around in the fullness of the Godhead. The disciples got a little dose of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they went outside, and 3,000 people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What would happen to us if we got the full understanding that it's God the Father in us, Christ the Son in us, the Holy Spirit of God in us right now. Jesus, do you know what's going on? And you get a whisper back. Don't be stupid. Of course we know what's going on. What do you think? Does that not tickle your fancy just a little bit? Does that say, well, maybe I'm not an orphan? Maybe I've got more going for me because of God putting that desire in my heart to keep His Word, to build my life on that Word, to speak that Word into my children's lives, to speak that Word into my grandchildren's lives, to share that as we're all walking in the hallway. God bless you this very day to the all the way to your socks. When you do that, you're walking, you're keeping His Word. And it's just not you, but it is you, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Christ the Son, walking in us. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, there's nothing in the Word of God that says contrary to this. But if this is true, God is a whole lot more aware of what's going on in my life than I am. What do you think? Well, Father God, we're so grateful.